You are listening to a Geekcast Radio podcast. Hello and welcome to Off the Cuff, episode 58. I am your host, as usual, Michael Powers. I'm joined this week by, well, I don't know if Art Danner fell asleep.
I'm back.
And he's awake.
And I'm joined by Joe Reed.
Hello, everybody.
Who's been dying to talk about Destiny. I think I might starve him another week. And, of course, you heard the voice of Sean. Lee Brown?
Hey! Woo!
So.
He smiled! I saw it!
So, this week, I'm pretty sure the last half of this show is going to be all about Joe gushing, getting everybody wet about Destiny.
Getting wet if I already
am. A little bit.
But the first half of the show, I thought, if I had done what I was supposed to right from the beginning... comments from the last episode, which was 3 weeks ago?
From the third.
September 4th is when it's from. So I'll go ahead and we'll just, you know, go from the top regurgitating some stuff. And then we've got some interesting, a poll that we took at Comic-Con, an impromptu poll regarding
that I had nothing to do with.
That's because your opinion doesn't really matter.
This is true.
And then, let's see...
And you live in that state that sucks so much they named it after a city.
Anyways.
Really? Like?
So, yeah. We'll finish the show up with some Destiny talk. So, without further ado, 9 days ago, Jared Kessler commented, are you all going to talk about Destiny? I picked it up and have been playing it nonstop. I wanted to hate it, not buy into the hype, but I'm loving it. It's
Wait,
not a what
perfect Destiny?
Game.
Which game is that?
It's
a Vita game. Vita game. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
It's not a perfect game, but I am having a lot of fun. Curious to hear your guys' thoughts on the full game. Well, keep listening to this show, and I'm sure you'll hear our answers. Also, you could check out our showcase video that we put up on YouTube. I did that last week to Saint Joe's Lust for the game.
I needed that. It was very good.
Bloodlust?
Look at him twiddling his finger. It was like, excellent.
Excellent.
Connor Murphy replied to Jared Kessler. He said he's looking forward to hearing our thoughts on the game, that he has not picked it up yet himself.
Because ours are the only thoughts that matter.
Probably not. Brad Kellogg said he's in purgatory with systems right now, hoping to pick up a new system soon and check out Destiny. I can say the commercials do make it look like fun. Quick side note. If you buy
live action,
buy Destiny on PS3 or Xbox 360, you are eligible for a free upgrade to a next gen platform when you buy a next gen platform. But it's only till like after the first of the year, I think.
And aren't the Bungie servers kind of universal? So your character from the old gen transfers
yes.
to the new gen.
Yes.
So there's no reason really to wait at that point.
Well, I think
that's a lovely shot, Banner.
Isn't it though?
Oh my god!
I'm not switching to that. That's not happening. No. Nope, not switching to that. Nope, not switching to that.
Do it.
I did it for a second.
I don't know. I mean, is this the part of the show where we're getting everybody wet? Because, I mean, I'm halfway there. I mean, I'll do this.
Justin Washington said... Justin Washington said, for me, it's Bungie's take on Borderlands and Halo rolled into one package, but mm-hmm. Destiny does not feel like either. The initial wow factor, along with the exciting and varied gameplay of Halo, is missing. Yes, it feels like Halo, but this is down to the animations, character styles, and weapon level designs. None of these dramatically affect the gameplay. They are just shiny finishes. I think that has everything to do with gameplay. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I would say gameplay is probably the
look and feel of the game.
Strongest thing. Yeah, that's like the strongest thing.
Anyways, none of these. But with these characters, none of them have the same appeal as Halo's. I'd say they have less than Halo's and far less than Borderlands. They aren't very mysterious.
Oh,
they
he's don't lighting to it have, for dramatic effect.
They don't have.
Oh God.
They don't appear to have much of a story, and they arrive in meaningless waves.
I bet that's what E.T.'s penis looks like.
Seriously?
Yes.
Boom!
You realize none of that is ending up on the camera, so you're just doing that to have him interrupt me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mission accomplished.
Borderlands 2 is a great game in many ways. For example, the loot drastically changes gameplay. This is down to a large amount of weapons, thousands, and replaying missions just to find new weapons. This replay factor seems to be missing from Destiny, as the reward is not enough to fight through the same hordes of enemies. I'm not saying Destiny is a bad game by any means, but it just seems to have missed its goal being a great game. Yeah, we'll talk more about that because when we get there. King of Kong says he's jealous. I am the only person breathing, not playing the game. Well, that's not true because Brad Kellogg isn't playing it either.
Yeah, he's busy with his cereals.
You can go sit in purgatory with him. Let's see. And then there was some stuff about achievements and trophies basically ruining gaming.
Wait, what?
Achievements and gaming more interesting.
I don't think they ruin gaming. I think that if you go through, like, I will only go trophy hunting if it's my second playthrough of a game.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think anything that's optional doesn't ruin gameplay.
Yeah, it doesn't take away. I mean, if your complaint is like, oh, it ruins the game, I can look through the trophies and see what's going on. Simple. Don't look through the damn trophies till after you beat the game.
I haven't touched the trophies for Destiny, but now that I've actually finished it, I should go and do that and see what there is.
See what there's. Well, they're very. I'm assuming there's a bunch tied to. Get all legendary, every piece of everything be legendary on you, or, you know, stuff like that. Get one of each character to level whatever.
I just want to put the camera on Danner because he looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Oh!
Eterna Nevada!
Atacata Voodoo!
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a second. So this past weekend was Grand Con.
I heard that it was. Well, it's
Chunzi. So Danner and Joe and I were there. What did you guys think? Was it? I know Sunday was a lot better than Saturday, but what did you guys think about it this year versus last year?
I hadn't heard what attendance was, and I want to push Grand Con. I want Grand Con to be an awesome con, and I like their mission of combining board gaming and comics. But this second year, I know it's not as big as they want it to be, especially the comics half of it. It's a struggle because I'm learning that these two different genres really need different things out of their convention, and it's very difficult to put those both in the same spot. But I don't know, growing pains, and they'll get it figured out. But the board gaming is wicked awesome there.
So awesome that Danner's yawning.
That was great. The yawn stole the camera.
Sorry. No, I was going to say I had a good time. I dare say I had a better time, I think, this year than I did last year. And I think it was all in part the fact that if you want to have fun at a convention, just follow behind Joe as he goes and gets critiques on the stuff from all the other different comic book artists. And other artists, you took your Turtles drawing around to everybody, getting like pointers and stuff like that, or their thoughts on it.
Rosma asked to see it. He wanted to see it, so I did that.
I was going to see
Mark McKenna, too. We were talking about inking, because he's an inking person. Inking, I'll say it. He's an inking god.
Yeah, and I got to meet Mark, and me and him had really awesome conversations, and to me, that was I think you could tell that I was slightly smitten with him every single time he came by. He would, you know, pat me on the shoulder or squeeze my arm or something like that. And I was like, because I was like, you know, I'm coming to your booth and I'm buying stuff. So, but he was super cool. It was nice to talk to him about, it turns out, because I'm not good at really kind of keeping up on who does what in comics. I just, you know, I'm a lover of comic books, and it's, you know, it's exciting for me to, when I find out somebody's worked on something I really have loved. And Mark has a profound amount of love for Exiles, because he was one of the first people, he was the first inker on that book, and then left for a short while to do Detective Comics, and then came back to the book before it switched hands over to Chris Claremont. And it was nice having a conversation with him about how Chris Claremont sucks the fun out of everything. So it was enjoyable. I had a good time. I had a lot of fun.
I have a question for you, because like the last mini con I went to by me, I mean, I understand vendors and stuff, but do you ever get the vendors that go there? It's like, you're asking way too much for this, dude. What are you even thinking with this?
I didn't, but I was good. This year I didn't really, like, last year I spent no money at all. This year I bought one game.
What did you buy?
I bought Martian Dice.
Oh, cool. That counts. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I bought a bunch of prints, artwork prints and stuff like that, which I, like I said, I don't know. I had this epiphany while I was there about how I'd rather invest in people's artwork than purchase comic books anymore. So
I'm in the same boat with you, dude. I don't want to collect stuff anymore. I want to collect pictures.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I've heard. I heard a lot lately. Hello, Momo. That's one thing I've heard a lot lately is that going to the convention when they set up the comics and stuff like that is that why would you go there to buy a comic book when you can just go to your local comic book store?
Well, sometimes those vendors who come into town for those conventions have books that your local folks don't get. The only chance I'm gonna ever have to find Ninja Turtles 27 and 29 is probably at Wizard World or Motor City,
or eBay or something.
Or
like
eBay,
that.
In which case I'll over.
I could never buy like vintage stuff off eBay because I'd be so concerned about it not getting package right. Well, when I sent it, it was good, but got to you all shitty. So too bad for you.
So yeah,
that was great. I think out of all the artists there, I think my prints were the most expensive ones because yeah, we go there to represent GCRN, and then I take over half the booth and sell crappy art.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were promoting GCRN. I thought we were literally just hawking Joe's crap.
Pretty much. Geekcast Radio presents Joe's crap.
Well, at the Geek Sale, I'll actually be able to officially do that guilt-free.
Well, no, this point at the Geek Sale, you shouldn't be able to sell anything. Just pimp GCRN.
I can do that. Yeah, I'm bringing the banner back here. I got it. That's
up. Yeah, I think we did better on Sunday though, because one thing I noticed was that, and I don't know if anyone else had the same epiphany as I did, as we were talking to you guys about it, was that everyone around us, you know, that everyone's showing off board games and collectible card games and artwork and stuff like that for people to come by and engage in. And the booth right next to us actually had they made flasks out of old NES cartridges.
Or that's cool.
Flasks that looked like NES cartridges. I don't think they were actually old NES cartridges.
No, they were cast in food-safe plastic.
Right. But that kind of people were coming up because they were looking at an NES NES case, and they were like asking questions about it and stuff like that. So I kind of thought that maybe on Sunday that we should just have Joe bring all of his controllers and stuff and dump them all over the table.
People are like, what the heck is this thing?
Yeah, which would get people to come up and touch them and try to interact with us and have a conversation with us. Okay, I gotta lock the camera because you guys are all moving it around too much.
Sorry.
But yeah, I thought he should, you know, dump off a bag of controllers, and he did on Sunday. And
I brought one of everything that I could detach from a system.
And then
I have this bag sitting next to me here.
I had an idea that just on the fly while they were sitting there on the table, I was like, well, let's ask people what their favorite controller is. And we started taking an impromptu poll, and Joe has those results.
Let's see. Taking a quick tally of our votes, of all the passers-by that decided to mark the paper. 10, 11, 12, 13, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 31, 33, 34, 35 people voted on this, so it's a very wide spread of data that we got to have a very accurate outcome here.
Yep.
Yeah,
top answers are on the board, looking for the number one space.
Turkey! Ha Anybody seen that YouTube video? That's hilarious.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's go with least favorite.
Least favorite are the ones that didn't make it on the list at all.
Well, that's that people voted for.
Least someone actually went to say, I like this, and everyone else disagreed with them pretty much.
All right.
What was the number?
Somebody decided to be weird and vote for the – I'm going to move stuff. The Odyssey 1 controller. This right here, ladies and gentlemen, is the first video game controller you could have in your house in 1972. Predated Pong by 2 or 3 years. It was not at all what we would consider video game. It was more of a board game, as all of the things besides the controller were out in front of you, and the dot on the screen decided what you did with poker chips or play money.
Yeah.
But I think somebody either had nostalgia factor over it, maybe they remembered it, or maybe they were just trying to be clever. But hardly even a video game controller. And I'm surprised it even unplugged. I don't get a chance to touch it. I did. No, not really. But most of the console controllers after this couldn't unplug from the system. They were hardwired to it.
The one thing I thought about when I was looking at that controller, because that was the first time I'd ever seen it in person, was it reminds me of if someone were to make a video game or a digital version of that marble game, that, like, you know, the wood.
Yeah.
Where we get the maze?
Yep.
Labyrinth. It's called Labyrinth. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That reminds – that just for some reason, because of the knobs, it just looks like a digital controller for that type of thing.
It does have horizontal and vertical controls. There's an English for the tennis that goes back and forth. You can put spin on it.
I'm sure that worked like a dream.
Oh, I bet it did, yeah. Ralph Baer, the guy who kind of did the brown box in the Odyssey and the Odyssey 2, he invented video games for us. He's the reason that we are having a podcast. He did this for us, but the guy didn't know how to make games, and the guy didn't know how to make toys, and that's why this thing never took off. But it took Nolan Bushnell to make Pong before, like, let's actually turn it into a game and made something cool out of it. We had other single votes for N64, which I think should have more votes than this. It's not the best controller, but it's a good controller.
Probably, yeah. It was at the time. I love that thing. It was weird. Like, depending on the game, you hold it differently.
Well, we were talking about that too. I've only ever played one game where you hold that, like, in the what can you really call it, the traditional style on the N64?
Because this would be traditional, I would call it, but and this would be N64 style. In the middle. But yeah,
that felt so good.
Yeah, it did. Something so gratifying about having a trigger.
Yep.
Yeah.
It felt right.
Was that the first trigger?
I think so. Yeah.
It was. It may not have been the first button on the bottom of a controller, mm-hmm. but it was definitely the first. What you would call a trigger.
Actually, I think it like was. Yeah, I think that was the first trigger. Did like a trigger. Like, yeah, Chun's mm-hmm. right. That was probably the first one to be like a trigger.
The joystick is. Those were notoriously easy to destroy, and I.
Oh yeah, I snapped so many of those things.
I would love to see what would happen if they released a new version of this controller. What would this feel like with a modern joystick? Maybe a second joy up here instead of the C buttons. I don't know.
I like the C buttons.
I do. I mean, it did what it needed to do.
Shooters.
Mm-hmm. Well, it felt good then with first person shooter. If I tried to do a first person shooter now,
well, the reason I say it felt good with a first person shooter is because that the those buttons actually were the, I believe they had the same function as the WASD keys on a keyboard.
On some of the first person shooters, not on like a GoldenEye,
Turok had they were the WASD keys and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, but the other thing is, GoldenEye and Perfect Dark both had the Turok controls in there, so you could
really
switch to those. Yep. Yep, you could switch to where the camera, the mm-hmm. C-sticks were.
I bet that would feel much more natural now.
Yeah, until you pick up the controller for someone else used it, and they switch it to our controls, and you weren't ready for it. That's a go. You're like, ah, oh, no.
So
no.
So what was next?
Joke votes for Dreamcast. They had a single vote with the VMU that everybody seemed to remember having chose on from Sonic the Hedgehog. Their little...
That thing was – that little. What did they call the little insertion part? They had a special name
VMU.
For it, right?
VMU.
Visual memory unit. Yeah, because it had a little screen with buttons and you could play games on it.
Yeah, well, that's like the silly thing to me.
Oh, my batteries are dead.
You're trying to turn it on?
Yeah, I thought I might have had something in there.
Shocking that you're second.
No, hang on. Mm-hmm. The Dreamcast controller, it has actually kind of direct lineage to the Xbox controller.
The original Xbox controller.
Yep. Well, and that informed the 360 as well.
Yeah.
The Duke controller as it was.
This does feel like a Duke. It's pretty big.
Now, the other thing I didn't like about the Dreamcast controller, like, I like the way it feels when you hold it, when you're kind of holding it loose, but when you grip it the way you're supposed to, that feels like, it doesn't feel very good to my wrists.
Yeah, it does.
It makes them very narrow.
It presses your wrists in. Yeah. I think that needs to be out more, but maybe that's what they fixed with that Duke controller. I relayed the story to somebody at the con. I don't have a Duke with me. It's probably in a bin back there, but the original Xbox controller was then, and they said this, Microsoft said this, that it was tested a lot in American audiences, and people wanted the big controllers, so their test audiences said. But what they ended up doing, replacing it with the S controller was what they gave to Japanese Xboxes. That's what they packaged with theirs. And so with the small Japanese hands, but no, that ended up being what we wanted as well.
And I remember my favorite controller S. One of my favorite controllers is the wireless Xbox controller.
Made by who?
Mad Cats.
Okay.
The wireless portion where the battery was, you actually had to plug it in to the Xbox because the Xbox didn't have any built-in way to receive a wireless signal. So you had to plug that in.
Yeah.
But the actual thing itself was tiny. It was a really small controller. Smaller than, I was probably fatter than the PlayStation 4, but like pretty tiny in your hands.
I'm holding this old Xbox controller in my hand. It feels huge to me. Yeah. My hands aren't.
I'm curious because I wasn't an Xbox guy. Why are there two memory card slots?
I don't know. I don't remember ever using a memory card in it.
I had one. Oh, also, that's where. The Xbox version of the Game Genie, I forget what it was called, also clicked into one of those spots.
Man, memory card slots, that's a blast from the past.
Right? Yeah, but that wireless one, the memory card slots were in the portion that plugged into the Xbox. They weren't in the controller you held, so it made your controller tiny. Fantastic.
I remember one of the things that they were big on with the old Xbox was that you'd put your memory card in there and you'd load on your Madden football team and be able to take that to your friend's house and plug it into their controller and load your Madden team up. Like mobile bringing your stuff to other people's systems was big. So maybe that's why. Satisfying triggers. But that thickness is a lot from my thumb to my pointer finger. That does not feel comfortable at all anymore. I need that little skinnier. Let's see. What is my, okay. We've got, tie for first, tie for second, and a tie for third.
Well, let's just go through. Let's go 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
We don't want to eat up a whole bunch of time.
Yeah. So, what was the top of each of those?
I'm so, top of what?
Well,
said there was a
third.
Tie. So,
tie for third. So you can tell this is very scientific study here that we got. Maybe we should open this up to the viewers and discuss this. We'll say that now. Yeah, what's your favorite video game controller? And when we asked our people at the con, it wasn't which one do you have the most nostalgia for, which this, for third place, feels like a nostalgia vote to me.
Which one, the Atari or the Genesis?
Both.
Okay.
I don't think either of these are good controllers for various reasons, but what is your most functional video game controller that you've had your hands on?
You know, I would actually say the Atari one is better than the Genesis one. I mean, given that what it was designed for.
Did you know that you can plug both of them into each other, that it's the same plug? You can plug a Sega Genesis controller into an Atari and make it work. Ah, now you know. I wonder if you can play Sonic the Hedgehog with this.
You only need one button, right?
You only need one button, there it is.
Directional, yeah.
Yeah. But Yeah, so the original Sega Genesis controller before the six button. That's another beast. That just is too large.
I don't remember seeing a six button Genesis controller.
That became standard very quickly after this. It's kind of like the controller S for the 360. But it had ABC and I think XYZ. Anybody?
Nope, and I wasn't a Genesis guy. That was B. Danner.
You make me want to go over there and grab it out of the thing.
Did he fall asleep?
Oh my gosh.
Danner.
Just keep going.
Okay, somebody needs to call him.
No, we don't. Keep going. It's better this way. Every once in a while, just took a Danner check. Switch to him, switch back.
No, it's okay.
So that's third place. Second place. Oh, my PS4 controller is upstairs. Oh. I'm surprised that one has four votes. Tied with...
Quick! Switch to me! Switch to me!
Oh, hang on. So this is tied for second?
Tied for second.
Okay, PS4 controller and an NES
controller. NES controller, yep.
I will say about the PS4, I don't get why this is a triangle shape.
Yeah, I think it's just to fit that spot.
I don't know.
And to use it more LEDs and thereby battery.
Probably just one LED back there.
I would imagine it's just one through like a diffuser.
Yeah. You'd be amazed at what you can do with LEDs.
Yeah, especially in a small area like that through a diffuser, can light up a lot, especially new, like modern ones.
Modern LEDs.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say I was kind of disappointed, Joe, with your NES controller there is that is a USB drive on the thumb port on the end of it. It's not a traditional NES controller.
I brought it because it was on top and easy to get a hold of. Yes, it is a USB NES controller. I would love to have drivers for this thing, but it is not one of the standard USB things that I can find drivers for. So if any of my users are tech savvy, help me out. I don't mess with drivers anymore since I tried to murder my computer with them earlier this year. But yep, it is a very authentic feeling NES controller. Anyway, but about the PS3 controller, I mean...
PS4.
What do you guys think of that thing? PS, thank you. I've been doing that all this
week. It's a big improvement coming from.
Oh yeah,
the DualShock.
Definitely my favorite PlayStation controller. I wasn't a fan of them before. I still like the stagger joysticks better, but like it being so light, like negates that. My hands don't get as cramped as they would have on like a PlayStation.
The thing about the PlayStation controller is that to me, and I know there's been different versions, there's the DualShock 2, the DualShock 3, the 6-axis, blah, 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 blah. They've essentially been the same controller since the PlayStation. They've been like lighter, or maybe made out of a different material, different colors, but it's essentially been the same thing. The PS4 controller, while it looks the same, it's definitely...
You can see it's first predecessor.
I like the way it feels in my hand. I do think that I don't have a problem with the Xbox One controller, but I do think Sony trumped them on the controller.
I'd like to play with an Xbox One controller for a while because I really like the thumbsticks. Okay. I like how that feels.
Now, Mike, you have both. Mm-hmm. How big is the Xbox One controller? I've held one, but I've never had it like in the same room as my 360, so I can't really compare. It looks like it's fatter this way.
I feel like it's bigger.
It looks like a 360 had a baby with a Duke.
Like it doesn't feel uncomfortable to hold by any means, but it's edgier than the 360 controller, which was kind of weird. Like there's harder edges on it than there are in the 360 controller. So I mean, and it's hard for me to actually talk about it because I don't play with it all that often, other than in Titanfall and some stuff like that. But hopefully that'll change this fall with Sunset Overdrive. But all right, what was next?
Number one. Tied.
Ooh.
If I pick between those two, it's the Super.
Yeah.
All the way.
Obviously. I never liked Sony's controllers. One, because I could never remember square, circle, triangle. It didn't logically make sense. And the colors, I never learned those either. They weren't a big enough part of it. And then there's the problem where my two thumbsticks, when you go to the center... I always watch my offset joysticks.
I have a video for you to watch about the PlayStation. They explain where the buttons came from.
The square is a map. X and O are yes and no.
I think triangle is supposed to be the map. And square,
well, square is a map because it's a piece of paper.
I thought the triangle might be the map because it was a direction. Anyways, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're just probably mixing them up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a DualShock? Like PlayStation 1?
PlayStation 1 DualShock.
Okay. I remember that thing. Now I've never had a problem with the thumbsticks where they are. I've never had my thumbs hit each other on thumbsticks. I think only it comes when down you to are, how we hold them.
Yeah, I suppose if you have your thumbs in the middle and put them together, they're going to touch. But generally, you might just hit the side of it.
Yeah, I'm usually dragging my. I usually don't have my thumbs on them. It's usually kind of like how you drive a car. My thumb is on the bottom edge of it, and that definitely is an improvement on the PS4 because there's a ridge. Mm-hmm. Where your thumb can kind of grip, where instead of just like sliding off, so it just feels a whole lot better.
Now, the fours are concave; these are convex.
Yeah. Now the Super Nintendo,
is amazing. One,
yes.
Jesus, did you almost drop that? Like
no.
Oh, because it looked like it was all like crazy.
That is an amazing controller. Like controller design, other than joysticks and two extra shoulder buttons, has not moved since that.
Okay. And I have something to say about controllers in general. I mean, I understand wireless is the way to go. Charging cable is a necessity. When did they decide to cut the length in half?
For what?
Of the cable.
As soon as they realized you can go to Monster Cable and spend $50 for a
I don't want to buy a like something to extend my charging cable.
Well, in fairness, Microsoft doesn't do that. That is a Sony thing. The short USB cables is a Sony thing. Microsoft does not do that because Microsoft still hold on to that whole thing that they had with the 360 where it was another 360, the Xbox. Like this is for American gamers. That's why they have that trip proof cable with the break in the middle of it. You know, for people like going walking across the family room, you're not going to pull your console in the middle of the floor like that. That is something that only the Xbox has, and the Xbox One still has that even on their charge cable. And they come with a really long charge cable. But the short USB, the short charging thing, that is on Sony. Like, I don't know why they do that. So, yeah, but I think the reason, though, and I could be wrong, I think the reason that Sony did it is because, one, when they went wireless, they used a standard USB cable. And they still use a USB cable with the PS4. So I think they're just kind of like, everyone's got these for their phones. So they probably have like really long ones for their desk or something like that. So it's like, why, you know, they've already got this stuff. Why give it to them? Whereas Microsoft just now switched over to a USB for their charging point, but they still gave you a nice long cable.
Yeah.
With a breakaway, apparently.
I think it's a breakaway. I could be sorely mistaken on that. But I, you know, for cables, and I said this on All Through Geek, for cables, I just go to Monoprice for every single cable I buy.
I need to do that.
I just get everything from there.
Actually, you know where I like to get, like, especially if I just need, like, a HDMI? Because I spend a lot of my money at GameStop for games anyways. I have so many points that I just trade them in and I get my cables for free. I ended up one time I traded in, it was only, like, a 6-foot cable, but it was a Monster cable. I don't know who traded that in, who Jeez. Gave that to them. But it I was happened. Like, oh, it, yeah, it was, like, it cost me no money. So I was like, oh, that's mine now.
Are you just fiddling with controllers now?
Yep, we'll wrap this up and say things like GameCube, one of my favorite controllers, two joysticks, offset, nice. I love the trigger buttons with the click through, so they sync down their analog, but then there's the click. We've got the Wii, which I think if ever an A-plus developer got on this thing and made it a first-person shooter, it would have been pretty awesome. Atari 5200. I've never seen one of these working ever in.
I've seen one. I've only ever seen it in a case. I've never seen it plugged in and powered on.
It probably doesn't work. ColecoVision, my very first video game system as a child, had little cards that slipped into the keypad thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where you dial in the date and time for when you're in the DeLorean trying to go back in time. Right?
Sega Master System.
That and controller I'd never seen before. That was new to me.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy. And then the CDI, the Philips CDI piece of garbage. You were supposed to play a Mario game with this somehow. I don't know how. But
very carefully.
So I think they're wrong, and we should open that poll up to our listeners. So let us know what you think.
Yes. Another five people need to add their information to our 35-person poll. It's not official unless there's 40.
So I will say that's only good when it has the grip attachments.
Yep, and I
hate it's too smooth without them.
You know what? I'm going to rant about this a minute. The classic controller for the Wii first version. You go online, you buy Mario Brothers, and you want to play it with your classic controller. Okay, that's fine. On your NES controller, Mario runs with the B button, jumps with the A, so you can, you know, run and rock your thumb over and jump. All right. But then they started doing the diagonal layout with the Super Nintendo. All right, and so you play Super Mario World. You're running around with Yoshi. You run, you put your finger on the Y button, you rock it down and jump with B. But when the Wii came out, they, like, rotated the button layout. And so now when you're playing the Mario Brothers 1 on the Wii Virtual Console, you'd run, 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 but you had to have your thumb on the B to run and rock your thumb over to the A. So you needed to hold the controller like this to make that natural. You couldn't hold it like this.
No way to change
the button layout in the game.
No, this is how you do it, Joe. Just pretend this is it, right? Uh-huh. What you do is you put the ball of your thumb on the bottom button, and then you rock it forward. Also, have you ever... Yes.
Ew.
Yeah, it's weird. Also, I would never do that. Watch someone play Call of Duty. They hold the controller like this and hit with their fingers.
Yeah.
Arthur plays that way.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing. Well, it's because when we used to play with some of our friends that were with the Activision stuff, I asked them, like, I can't hit the button fast. And he's like, oh, my index finger's on Y the whole time. I'm like, how? And he showed me a picture. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
What do you mean you can't hit the Y button fast enough?
Well, because Y was jump. Or no, Y was reload.
Change your weapon.
Right? And called it. Change your weapon. I could never switch fast enough.
You just have slow thumbs, sir.
I do. I have baby fingers. Vienna sausage is attached to meat paws.
That's a pretty picture. All right. That ends our controller discussion for the week. Let's talk about some Destiny.
I do have one thing. I just got a text from my friends. He said comments have been disabled on the video for some reason.
They shouldn't have been, and I apologize for that. That won't happen next time. Of course, it's also saying there are zero viewers.
He keeps texting me stuff, and he's like he showed me a picture of like the Xbox One controller next to the 360 controller and all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I have no way to put that on the screen except to show my phone, which is not going to work.
Been disabled. Start talking about Destiny, and I'll see if I can't fix that while we're doing this.
Okay, Joe.
All right.
Go.
So, I saved up my blood money, and I wasn't sure that I wanted to get the PS4 with Destiny. I wasn't sure if that was going to be the game to win me over, because I had almost sworn off of first-person shooters, and all of a sudden Destiny comes out. And as I'm hearing my co-hosts here talk about all of these wonderful things that Destiny's coming on, my sixth sense that I developed after 10 years of working at GameStop and many years before that just being a general fan is, like, ringing in my ears telling me, this is gonna be good, you should do this. And it sounded like the devil. I don't know why that was like that, but...
Well, it's because it's made by Bungie, sir. Of course it's
made. I picked it up, and... I'm starting to play it. I played through the beta, and I don't even remember responding to the beta as well as I responded to it actually.
You did. You did not actually. When we talked about it a little bit, you were just kind of like, you were like, I even think after playing the beta, you even said like, I'm probably gonna cancel my pre-order or something along that line, or I'm not gonna get it. And we're all like, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe order just a regular PlayStation. I've been waiting for something more like Last Guardian or something to come out for it, but after playing it, after getting through it as far as I have, I think these negative reviews that we've been getting from the official big news agencies or the games, what do they call it? The games reviewing industry.
Games press?
Yeah, they're doing a disservice to the game by releasing these reviews a week and a half after the game comes out saying it's too short. And it's and this and that, and it's too repetitive, and I don't think anybody is doing the job that they should do to say this is like an MMO. In
the beginning is like that.
The beginning
when
is
World of Warcraft
be like
came
this.
Out. It was not the game it is now. It didn't come out with 70,000 hours of content. It was built up.
Mm-hmm. And. Yes, what we're playing right now is short. It's repetitive. There's not a lot of stuff to collect.
This is Yeah, vanilla Destiny. That's what.
But it's the beginning, and it's fine to say all of those things, but I think every one of them has a responsibility to say but. And my
it's
but,
an investment. You want them yes. to say it's an investment.
Or that there will be more and that they need to wait for it or be ready for it. You don't have to get the game now, but you might maybe want to get on board so you don't miss something. The big but that I see, besides my own, is that there are things that are put into this game that show that it's exquisitely crafted. The encounters that we've had, the instances that we get put in and where the battles are generally scripted, kind of where they're coming from and whatnot. It's so balanced that it's showing how wonderful a designers Bungie are when they're crafting that type of mechanic. And I'm thinking of Sean, what was that part that you, Art, and I were in dying multiple times?
You were doing the strike.
We were doing the strike. Anyone who is familiar, it's the Devil's Lair strike on Earth, and we were probably one or two levels too low to attempt it. But we decided, we got like half an hour to kill, let's try it anyways. Hit a wall, we couldn't beat it, kept dying, restarting. It was like the funnest half an hour of getting my ass kicked I've ever had, I think.
And it was all because of how that game is crafted. And the way we were set up, I was, I think I had discovered the scout rifle by then, which has been my favorite gun because I'm just like headshotting everything with it. I'm hiding up behind this crate and Art and Sean are down there. I'm not sure what they're doing, but I know they're covering me. And Art's saying, hey, I'm getting shot by this thing. Can you get those snipers? And so that's my job. I'm up there tagging the snipers and they're down there running and gunning. And every time I think, and you can answer this for me, Sean, I think every time that I died, it was because I did something stupid. And so I knew that it was my fault. It wasn't the game's fault, cheating or being rigged. And it just felt satisfying. Man, I'm doing my job. I know my back is covered by these other two classes down here. People are saying that, yeah, these three classes are too similar. They're just running and gunning. But maybe they are, but the roles that
they're
we were
just
playing,
different enough.
The roles that we were playing in that particular fight balanced so well that I think it has to be intentional in the design of the experience.
Yeah, yeah, it's more like you pick these classes, whatever. There's three classes, you pick it anyway. And now, if I want to snipe, I don't have to pick the Hunter class. I can totally pick the Warlock or the Titan. I can pick it.
I'm a Titan sniper.
Yeah, and it all turns into how I use that class. Like Joe uses a lot of single-shot weapons. I'm all about fully automatic and shotguns. So I'm going to run straight at the dude.
And hopefully I'll headshot him before you get there and die.
No, I'll get there and die and be like, well, I took half his health out, but you guys got this. Which is why I'm excited to switch back to my primary subclass, then I could actually get in there and hurt them.
I will say this, because we're talking about the characters right now. The one thing that I think that Borderlands does better than this game, as far as, and I'm not saying this is the only thing that Borderlands does better, the character, like the people you play as, I feel like, you know, it's kind of, the power sets were set up to kind of make you want to use to go a particular style. Like in Borderlands 1, if you wanted to be a sniper, you were much better off playing as
Mordecai.
But that wasn't like, it wasn't like a hindrance, because his abilities with the sniper rifle were awesome. Like, you don't get those abilities if you play as another person. And the same thing happened with Zero in Borderlands 2. They made him like a he was either like, he had abilities for being a in-your-face melee character, or you could play him like standing back from the fray. And he, like, his abilities were only his abilities and nobody else knew them. You got bonuses for using certain types of guns. And I thought that was really interesting. Whereas Destiny's characters, because any gun can, I say we just let him be.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, pretty sure we just, oh, there he is.
That was weird.
It says we're still live.
Yeah, yes, the live never went away.
Hang on, let me ask my buddy.
Sorry, viewers. Technical difficulties. We need a card to put up.
There is one that goes up. But I don't know how to make our own. I think we can. I just don't know how to do that yet.
That's cool. Test pattern.
Anyways,
continue talking as if we are live, just in case.
Yeah, well, it still says live, so.
I'm messaging him, seeing what's up.
So, in Destiny, all the characters can use any of the guns, so that's fine. You can use whichever one you want. But I feel like, given there's, and each character has two subclasses that you can pick from. And I feel like the subclasses are divided into offense and defense. I feel like they're divided into offense and defense. So if you go down one tree, you're going to be like a defensive player. Like right now, Shaunzi's working on a second tree as a Titan, and he has a shield that actually does some pretty cool stuff, but it's not his play style.
No.
Now, in the Warlock, the Warlock has two different abilities as well, which is the class that I'm playing. The first one that you start the game with, it's like, I'm going to stand back behind the lines and lob magic missile at all the enemies, because that's essentially what it is. It's an arcing magic missile, which is really cool because you can rain down destruction, which I did in some really cool moments this evening. But the second class is an in-your-face melee class. Like, you are designed to be in the face of the enemy at all times. The ability that I'm using for the character, I actually save it for when I die, because I have the ability to res myself. Unfortunately, we don't have anyone here that's playing as a hunter, so we can't really talk about those two different classes. I
have a level 4 hunter, so we just need to power level him up.
I will say, from what I've seen people play, is that has a very distinctive long range or in your face.
Yep. But I feel like. I mean, and that can kind of go into like the larger discussion. I mean, the thing that I really want to compare Destiny to is Borderlands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a first-person loot-driven game.
Yeah. Now here, this is what I'm going to say. I'm having a lot of fun with Destiny. A lot of it. The mechanics are great. They're solid. They came right from Halo. I never really had a problem with Halo's gameplay. Never. And being able to play with friends is awesome. Like, I definitely have a lot more fun getting in there and just shooting the shit with you guys. But for me, when we do those strikes and we get in those hairy situations and we're dying repeatedly, and, you know, we're dying, we're banging our heads against the wall and we're responding and we're planning, we're communicating really well and we're trying to get through this. And then you finish the strike and you go to that screen where it's like, okay, we're going to give you a reward, and you get. To me, that's just a giant slap in the face. It's like, here we are, we're going to throw this high-level difficulty at you and punish you. And even if you get through it, you're not going to be rewarded for what you did. Whereas
you might find rewards along the way, but nothing for completing it.
Yeah, and to me, I would rather get something at the end rather than pick up anything. You know.
So would you rather everything that drops at the end, everything that would have dropped, dump at the end from the final boss or whatever?
I think it would feel a lot more rewarding to see those globes, like at the end of a hard strike playlist, just kind of, you know, like everything else does.
But then you'd have those times where you can't get to the end of strike playlist, like, oh, I just wasted an hour, didn't beat it, I guess nothing.
But that's your fault for playing on a difficulty you couldn't complete.
Happy median, maybe.
But they do a nice thing with the strike playlist. There are different levels of difficulty. So it's like, if you couldn't get to the end of that one, then turn it down a notch and go do another one.
Do the same thing, just a different level.
Yeah. They at least give you those, like, kind of, I don't want to say fine-grained controls, because you don't really have control over them. You just get to pick a different playlist setting. But
yeah. Like, I'm going to do a strike on this level. Don't know which one.
I just don't feel... For me, the appeal in this game right now, even though I've put over a day of playtime into it, I'm still having fun with it. I'm really enjoying it, but I think it comes down to just being able to hang out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when it hit level 20, it kind of lost that carrot on the stick, and I started for a little while. I was making my own carrot on the stick by just trying to level up my guns, and then it's just... You know, I don't feel like you're rewarded enough. And even when you're doing the glitch, like the murder cave glitch that's going around right now, even when you're doing that, I don't feel like that is like rewarding. Like, other than being able to get components to upgrade your stuff a little more regularly, I just, even when you break the game, I still don't feel like it's rewarding. And in that regard, sometimes I'll be in there and I'm like, I feel like wasting my time playing this game, but I'm still having fun hanging out with my friends and I'm still doing cool mm-hmm. stuff. And, but man, if I've said this a lot about Borderlands, the story in Borderlands was barely there enough to get you through the game, but at least you had a driving goal and you kind of knew what that was. I never
something, felt... something, something, Handsome Jack.
Well, that's Borderlands 2. But I never, but that's why I was saying Borderlands, because I feel like the story in Borderlands was weaker than in Borderlands 2. But the characters of Borderlands, hands down, trump anything that was done in Destiny.
And this is my biggest gripe with the game, are the characters, or the lack of them. And my primary example, okay, Peter Dinklage, okay, he's a robot. And I don't think he's phoning it in like everybody says. I think he's just
I think it's that tit. He's doing his best to play a robot created by an alien entity. Like, oh, he's not. I don't think he's supposed to have a lot of personality. He throws like some weird humor out there that kind of falls really flat. And it's kind. It's. I almost think it's like the robot's like, hey, you better not do this. No laugh. Okay, whatever. I'm a robot. Like,
but then Bungie,
by the end of the game, I liked his voice.
Yeah, it's certainly better than it was than I remember it being in there the was demo. I think I've gotten used to it.
I think it was still kind of bad, like, in the beginning, just because I think that his voice started to change for me, or the character of Ghost started to change for me when we got to Venus. He started to say a more joking things. Like, one of my other favorite cutscenes in the game, and a little bit of spoilers here, which, by the way, she didn't really play that big of a part in the game. It's just another character that falls by the wayside. The hunter lady that's not a guardian, that's like stalking you from like the beginning of the game. Yeah. Like, there's a scene when you first get to Venus where you actually confront her, and Ghost is hovering around her because she's like talking to someone in her ear, and the Ghost is like, "Who's she talking to?
What's going on there? I'm a curious cat. What's going on?"
He's like, the animation just got better for the character because the Ghost was like all up in her face, like hovering around her. And I felt kind of like watching Wally a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And he was genuinely funny, especially when he got pushed, when the stranger pushed him out of her face. that was really funny. And by the end of the game, I started to like him a little more. Now, that saying, if he were to die down the road, I wouldn't really care. Unless something drastically changes and they make him more of a lovable character.
If he does die, I want it to be like in a funny way, though.
I mean,
you can't turn him into a serious, serious character, I think.
No, I think his battery anymore.
Just run out.
Or at least play up, because I mean, anyone who's played the game realizes the second he touches anything, bad things are going to happen. Never goes good.
And that's unfortunate gaming trope that they end up blaming on him with dialogue. Yeah,
I understand, but it's never like, oh, I hacked the computer. We're done.
You didn't. You went right in through the front door and everyone saw you coming.
I think what we're going to learn is at the end of the game, he hasn't been hacking. He's literally just been shooting a laser at the door going,
Why isn't this working?
He's basically the droid that you practice your lightsaber with that shoots lasers at you, block him when you're blindfolded.
Pretty much. I'll go with that. I forgot what I was going to say now.
Well, I'll jump in and you'll remember. Bungie spends, I don't know how many thousands, maybe millions of dollars getting these A-list actors. Not only Peter Dinklage, who's big stuff right now because of Game of Thrones, but everybody's favorite, Nathan Fillion and Gina Torres, our sub-favorite from Firefly. All right, I've been playing the game since launch. I know which characters those two are playing in the tower, but I don't know their names.
You know them as Nathan Fillion and Gina Torres.
Yep. The thing is that where they are, you can play through the entire story and never talk to them and hear their voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'm hoping that in adding updates, more content, making this the 10-year plan that I've heard that they want to make Destiny, that
Wash
they
can out.
Say, oh my god, let's give these guys characters. And I would even say, send them with you as NPCs into a mission so that they have dialogue that's telling the story as you go through checkpoints. Make us actually like these characters, because right now I don't know who anybody is. We have the speaker who's not telling us anything. I could tell you about this, but I'm not going to. Like, come on, man! And again, I say all of this stuff, but say, let's give them a chance, because I think in 5 years, when they're still giving content to Destiny, be it in Destiny 2 or in expansions that might as well be Destiny 2, that I lost my train of thought.
Well, I'll jump on there. I agree with what you're saying, and I that's one of the reasons why I don't want to get behind. I want to level my character up. I want to be able to do this stuff. Yeah. That way, like when they do give you more stuff to do, I can do it. Like they just started the whole Queen's Bounty thing, which is an interesting idea, but again, just like the bounties or whatever, you're just redoing story missions that you've already played dozens of times for other reasons, just on different modifiers, and that's fun to a point.
But I don't want to watch those cutscenes again.
No, that's the thing. If we're not actually doing the story, if we're done with the game, at least let us skip them. Why do we have to watch them? I mean, and it's not that hard because they already like half-assed it anyways. You can do a story mission, like you can do one of those modified story missions, like the heroic story mission of the week, and get in there and have your Sparrow, even if it's the first mission, like on Venus, where you don't have your Sparrow. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll put you in there and you'll have it, so you can go and do what you need to do right off the bat. There's two things I want to put out there, and I want to see what you guys think. The first one I think will generate more discussion than the other, so I'll just go with this. There's a guy on Twitter that I follow. He writes for Wired. His name is Chris Kohler. He put up the theory that I think I might have said this to you guys before, but I really want to kind of dive into this. This is kind of like when the first Assassin's Creed came out, it was, you know, it had this, there was a lot of high praise, a lot of hoopla around it, all the stuff you were going to be able to do. And then you get in the game and the world, you know, it looks amazing. It plays okay. And then you do the same three or four things repeated across the three or four cities they put in the game. And that's all there was to do. And then, you know, everyone was like, it's not that great, whatever. And then Assassin's Creed 2 comes out, and it's amazeballs. Because they spent all their time developing the world of Assassin's Creed and the engine and making things work that they were just able to. All of a sudden, it was like the one thing they had to work on with Assassin's Creed 2 was, how do we make it more, the mission variety more varied? How do we make the gameplay more fun? They didn't have to start from scratch and build an engine. Mm-hmm. Do you guys see that same thing happening with Destiny here?
Well, that ties into where I had lost my train of thought. I think in 5 years, when we have content and maybe Destiny 2, that we're going to look back at the first week and a half of Destiny's launch at levels 1 through 20 and say, this was just the tutorial. We don't have any clue what the grand story is going to be. This darkness that we're fighting might end up being something completely different and revealed to us in future content.
Joe says not having finished the game.
Not yet.
Anyways.
One more mission.
I will say that if you take Halo 4 and even in the Master Chief Collection, take it and compare it to the original Halo when it came out, those are two completely different things.
None of them have story outside of ODST and Reach, so it really doesn't matter.
Well, they do, but it's not
you
like...
You have to read the books.
No, you can get away without reading the books, but it's definitely not like... That's not what that game is for. That game is not about the story.
It's about shooting stuff, and that's what Destiny is about right now, too. Yeah. It's just shooting stuff.
But everything builds on the first. This is just the stepping stone for the next one. You know?
This kind of actually feeds into. I kind of had this theory last night when I was playing with Shaunzi, because we keep going back to Borderlands. I'm not entirely sure when Destiny went into development, but I know it's. I think it's been in development for at least 5 years. Four or five years. Could be wrong. Because the last game they did was Reach. When did Reach come out? Anyone know? Going once, going twice?
Off the top of my head, 3 years ago.
Bam, 2010.
2010. So it's been about 4 years. So they've been working on Destiny. They've been working on Destiny. We could say they probably started it before they did, you know, while they were wrapping up Reach. So 4 or 5 years here, they've been working on this game. In that time, Borderlands and Borderlands 2 have both come out before this game did. When you're developing a game, you kind of have a target that you have to hit, and you can fall into this thing called feature creep, where it's like, I'm just going to keep adding features as they keep coming out, and your game will never come out. And that's actually what happened to Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem
is notorious for that. So that, you know, it was just feature creep. I want to make it the best game possible, so I'm going to change engines because a new engine came out. I think when they set out, if you look at the way that Destiny feels with its monster closets and its encounters, as good as they are, it definitely feels like a game that was, at least it was conceived 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago on paper about what they wanted to do. And in time, Borderlands has come and you know, changed the world. And I don't think Destiny was, or Bungie was, willing to scrap everything and change their direction just because Borderlands came out of nowhere and took the gaming community by storm as far as loot in a first-person shooter. And then Gearbox also had the time to do Borderlands 2, which iterated on the stuff that they had done in Borderlands.
It was actually very easy because they just took the funding from Colonial Marines, so they had all that extra cash to make.
Well, that's besides the point, because they made a boatload of money off of Borderlands.
Yeah, they did.
But I feel like Destiny just kind of got stuck being... It took so long for it to come out, and so I'm wondering if, like, the next game, or even it could even be the next DLC, you know, the next story content could be drastically different than what we're seeing.
I'm hoping that there is a slow trickle of small updates planned soon. Like the first gigantic what are they, not strikes, the bigger one,
the Raid
Palace. The raid, the raid they had done, but they waited that week to launch it. And I'm hoping that in 2 weeks we'll get something else, and that 2 weeks we'll get something else, and that later we'll get a giant thing.
Yeah, plus, I mean, the raid, even if they had put it out immediately, who was at level 26?
Yeah, that's why they
within
waited.
Within that first week. Plus, get your servers a little more stable before you put something in the thing where they're going to have to commit a large chunk of time to, and it might crash. I mean, make them just a little bit more stability. Never heard anything.
Can we address that really quick? That was a really smooth launch for Destiny.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
Outside of the hackers, we weren't playing the game because we were at Grand Con.
But, I mean, that was like a week and a half later.
Like,
you look at what happened with Diablo 3. You look at what happened
Grand
with
Theft Auto
Sin City.
4,
Was Grand Theft Auto 5... The online
Grand Theft Auto 5 online was not working.
No, it was going bad. Like, for the first few days, like, people couldn't get in. You couldn't log on.
Right, I remember that. So, but Destiny went really smooth. Mm-hmm. I was shocked.
They're veterans at this. They've had so much experience with 2, 3, and 4, and Reach, and all those online bits.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, Microsoft or Activision's also done the Call of Duty games and stuff like that, and they published, you know, Diablo 3. I think it's like they just published one of those games that, you know, caused all these problems. They didn't want to have a repeat of that again. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. Congratulations. You took an always online game and it launched on the day it came out, and it did not die. Even though most people had to download 15 gigs of data first. So, I know it sounds like I'm trying to be all down on the game, but I think they're valid.
Valid,
even if I am having a ton of fun with the game. And to a certain degree, when we're playing, I'm very jovial about it. Like, we'll make fun of, like, Peter Dinklage just going up and pushing the same thing and triggering an alarm because he's like, I'm going to go hack that. And it's like, no, you're not.
No, it's no. Just
that's my
call
dog
guys
stupid.
Now.
I'm sorry, everybody. Anyone else have anything they want to say?
I really thought I had more to say, but I guess the glow has worn off over the course of the week. It's still a ridiculously fun game that I want to go play right now, but I have to be to bed in an hour. I think there are things in the game that demonstrate a level of craft in game making that is unsurpassed, that Bungie knows how to do the first person shooter. And they're demonstrating the fact that they can put an MMO on top of a first-person shooter, and out of the gate, they seem to have the system figured out. There are tweaks, drop rates, and But as far as like enemies scaling to you and to your team, and even though I'm three or four levels behind my friends who are fighting guys who are higher level than them, I can still feel useful in combat. That all shows a level of, what's that?
As a medic?
As a medic. No, that's actually harder to do, to go in and save you guys, because then, you know, I die. But I think that shows a level of craft that, again, is just demonstrating that they know what they're doing. And I think that in a couple of years, this is going to be awesome. My wife asks a question. She's watching the show upstairs. She says, we've mentioned the 10-year lifespan that Bungie hopes to have with Destiny. Is there still going to be a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One in 10 years? How would it, I mean, is 10 years just a number they're throwing around? Or,
well, here's what I think. Most console lifecycle, and this one might be a little faster because they used off-the-shelf components for these ones to make them as cheap as they possibly could. I wouldn't be surprised to see like the next PlayStation in like 4 or 5 years. But what I think will happen is there will be content for 10 years and this is actually shown because the ability to transfer your character from PS3 to PS4 can be done right now. So there's no reason you couldn't take your Destiny character from PS4 to PlayStation 5. So I'm trying to unmute Danner because I muted him. Oh, I did not mean to put the camera on him. Trying to just unmute him. He took his headphones off. I'll just leave him be. I'm not sure.
Always put him back on.
Okay. Anyways.
Good morning, Art. I missed you.
Are you there?
Yeah, I just didn't realize it's been an hour, and oh my god.
Sorry. You okay?
No, I'm...
It's all right, man.
Tired.
Okay. Well, we didn't want to.
Do you want to go or do you want to stick around?
I'm going to go.
We're almost done.
I think I'm going to go to bed.
All right.
I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, you're good.
You
man.
Mean back to bed? No, don't worry. It is actually very cute. We watched you change positions a few times.
Okay. I didn't hear you on camera. I didn't.
Well, that was nice of you. I'll see you guys later.
All right.
We love you, Art.
I could totally see it going for 10 years. I mean, I do think the PS4, because the PS3 has almost been out for 10 years and it's still going a little bit. There's still stuff coming from the PS2 before it was around for more than 10 years.
Plus, with these systems now being basically computers in boxes, they've made them a lot easier for them to update through downloads.
System patches.
Yeah, system patches. I'm sorry. Thank you. So that lends it, these should be the longer lasting of all of them. The PS4 should have a longer shelf life than the PS3.
I think, well,
mechanical speaking, I don't know if they'll probably replace it within that time.
Yes, it will be.
Capability wise, it has a long time to go.
I think it'll be replaced in about 5 years. The thing is, the PS3, the 360, they were around for way too long.
Yes, they were.
Like, way, they held everything back gaming wise, which is one of the reasons why the PS4 and the Xbox One have sold as well as they have, because people were starved for new hardware. And I think that, you know, I think we'll if they're smart, and you see this, the thing is, we've entered a new era of stuff like with electronics and hardware, and they've been watching, you know, Sony and Microsoft have been watching the cell phone and the tablet market, right? You know, they've been watching that.
Oh, they can put out a new one every
2 years if they wanted to. Yeah. It would be like, and I think there are systems in place where it'll end up being kind of like your Android phone or your iPhone. It'll be, you'll want to play a game, and all of a sudden it'll be like, you know, you don't have this operating system. Like, you don't have the... Now, that won't happen. I think this hardware is designed to last longer than a cell phone. I know Apple, like, backdates their stuff at least 4 years. You know, they have 4 years of support. And it might not run as great on the old stuff, but it's still there. Like, they're still supporting it. Like, And I think they've been looking at that stuff, and I think that they could do that. So it's like in 4 years when a new one, they might start
customer experience though. That's not an improvement. That's it makes sense for the business people to do that, but it doesn't make sense for the consumer to partake in that business model.
But consumers are already partaking in that business model.
Yeah, because we're dumb.
I agree.
Because there's a very good reason I don't have a smartphone.
How's your new phone?
My new phone's great. But I just think the thing is, they've been, that's something that's happened in the last 10 years is, tablets and cell phones have taken off and they've gotten people used to upgrading certain hardware for every 2 years. I really wouldn't be surprised to see something. I wouldn't be surprised to see something. Do I want to see something that soon? No, I don't want to see something that soon. I'd rather go five years, 10 maybe, but I don't. This hardware's not going to be around for 10 years.
Yeah,
it'll still be there because the install base will be there. It'll be there the way the PS3 is there, but it won't be there. Yeah. It won't be the console in 10 years.
My biggest fear is that consoles will eventually become like gaming PCs. Sure, you can take a really old PC and play the newest PC game. Sure. Is it going to be on anything close to max visuals and audio? No. If you're running bare minimum everything, playable, but no. But if you want the best stuff, you got to upgrade everything as you go.
But
and I can't get behind that.
I don't think
one of the main reasons I'm a console gamer.
The minute that happens, I'm done.
Me too. The minute they want me to buy something new every 2 years, I'm done.
Yeah, it's like I can justify spending $400 every 5 years. I can't justify spending, even if they cut it back $300 every 2 years. I can't do it.
I agree. I'm just I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen, and yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'll have to wait and see. And at that point, that's when backwards compatibility becomes a thing. Huge. And I honestly can't believe that backwards compatibility on these consoles is the chore that it is, even from a consumer standpoint, because, my iPhone will run apps that were on the first iPhone.
Yeah.
It will still run them. Like, games that I got on my iPhone still work on my new iPhone.
Computers can emulate everything now. I mean,
as far what you have sitting underneath your TV that you play your games on is a computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What it is now.
And there's no doubt that they could. Now, here's the thing. Would you pay a small premium for backwards compatibility? Like if Sony, and Joe, you probably wouldn't because you don't have any love for Sony franchises. But if I've often thought that if they were to, let's just call it virtual console because that's Nintendo's thing. It actually makes a lot of sense. If they were to release a virtual console in the PlayStation Network store for $20 and you could play all your PlayStation 3 games on your PS4, would you do it? I'd probably do it.
You would because you have the nostalgia of those games. Would I? No, because I don't care. Right. All the games I have my PlayStation 4 are within the last couple of years.
I think there will be some kind of app from the store to allow you, because the reason emulation is so hard is because they have to backwards engineer and jury rig all those emulators to work. From everything I've read online in forums and stuff, the PS3 and the 360 the documentation for their hardware is not public. And so it's taken people a very long time to reverse engineer how they actually work in their programming language. But that's neither here nor there. I think Destiny's worth it, even though I'm just playing to get bring my level up, and I'm playing to hang out with my friends. Am I disappointed with the game? The game? Yes. Is it weird to say this? The game, yes. The experience, no.
You wish the game had more of what you thought it was, but you're still having fun anyways.
It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's like 50 to 75% what I thought it was going to be, and just like 25% of it is just missing.
25% is like, oh, come on, Bungie.
Yeah.
Give me a purple drop.
It's that. It's the story. It's just...
Having Nathan Fillion in a role that he doesn't have a personality.
The thing everybody's talking about loot drops. There's even a Twitter account making fun of the loot drops, which I think hilarious. Is hysterical. Freaking great, Joe. You know Twitter's that thing that you do from your computer that you don't do because you can't get on. Yeah, that thing. That's something that can be easily fixed. Like they just did a fix the other day where there was a couple of missions that when you're playing them on with an increased difficulty, certain modifiers would hit, and if an elite level guy came out with those modifiers on him, you couldn't kill him almost. It become almost immune to everything you could throw at him, and you'd literally have to spend all of your bullets taking your shield down, and by the time you reloaded, your shields are back up. It becomes a stalemate. So that loot system, I can totally see them fixing if they wanted to. I don't know.
I think they'll fix it. And if they come out and say they can't fix it, I cry foul because even Diablo fixed their loot system.
Yeah. They have already doubled the frequency of public events. So yes. They took something that was supposed to happen every hour and it happens every half hour.
And I love that we've been
able to... like clockwork.
I love that we've been able to game that.
We've mapped it. Well, we've mapped it on the one world.
Well, it's just because we know where they are. I'm pretty sure they still happen like that everywhere else.
Maybe.
I've never seen the public event on Venus or Mars.
I haven't hung out with
there was a satellite on Mars.
I don't know if there's anything special, like the walker that's on Earth. I don't know. We spend way more time on Earth than anywhere else.
So I would say if you're okay investing in a game that's fun to play with your friends, I'd say Destiny is
fun. Exquisitely fun.
I'd say Destiny is fun for you. Mm-hmm. Joe, what would you say?
I agree that... I don't know. I have this sixth sense, and I would almost wager to say that I don't think I've been wrong on it. Destiny is going to be something special. It's not special yet. Great, great amount of fun, but I think in 3 years we're going to have something very special on our hands that will be unlike much anything else that we've played. There's something that I think Destiny is the kernel of the idea. I think Grand Theft Auto is the kernel of the idea for the theme of this next generation, and it's going to be asymmetrical gameplay. And I've dropped that line here before, where three people, five people are in a team, each one of them is doing something different. I think that's going to be the thing that we remember in 7 years when this generation is nearing the end. Just in that experience that Sean, Art, and I had, I was the sniper. They were down there doing their different jobs. Yeah, it's still a first-person shooter. We're looking down a scope and shooting, but we were doing different things, having different experiences. And I think Grand Theft Auto 5, maybe when we see, the walking through the post-apocalyptic city, the guy with the iPad can control the drone. What's the game? I keep forgetting The Division. I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to lead to what The Division is, where, yep, it has those three different characters. One guy's the driver, one guy's the shooter, one guy's sniping from the building across the street, and you have to cooperate to complete the larger picture. I think Destiny is going to be headed there once we have more character classes and more variety in gameplay. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw spaceship combat at some point in Destiny.
I'm so glad you brought that up. There's so many different types of ships. At the moment, they do nothing. I really want them to put... There was one mission on Halo Reach.
Yep.
You know the one I'm talking about. It's basically they took Star Fox and put it in Halo for like half an hour.
Blasphemy.
My sixth sense says that stuff is coming.
That is the closest you can say. I'm not saying it was as good as Star Fox, Mike, so keep it in your britches. But I need these things that are collectibles that you can buy. I need them to feel like even the sparrows, you buy the better sparrows. They're more durable. They have the ability to
Strafe
sideways. The ship is purely cosmetic. All it is so far. And it's weird, like, the way that mashes up, you can see where it's kind of like it has there's different ship parts. I want that to actually be something. Let me do more with that ship.
In 5 years, we'll be piloting spaceships, we'll be driving tanks, we'll be sitting...
In the game,
we'll be... Okay. Crafting guns with those different parts, and there will be people who don't even shoot the guns. They make the guns and sell them to players. I think that's where Destiny's going. I hope so. But if Destiny doesn't go there, there will be other games this generation that will. And I think
that are like, listen, this first person you know, massively multiplayer online game community thing can work on a console.
No, I'm curious. Lot of them. If Borderlands 3 transitioned to this model, the Destiny model, where it's always online, everyone's running around the same world, like I understand what you're saying. Like, everyone's doing their thing, and I always felt that's how it was in Borderlands as well. Like, I've got, mm-hmm. you know, Shaunzi's running in there with his shield and his turret. Like, the exact same experience you're talking about, mm-hmm. playing with your friends, the asymmetricalness of it, mm-hmm. is the same experience I got out of Borderlands, and you didn't take that away from Borderlands at all.
It never felt as magical when all the parts were working well in Borderlands. It felt like a game. When all the parts work well in Destiny, I feel like I'm a part of something greater. It feels composed to me.
Do you think that's simply because of the way they've done the enemies? Like, for example, Borderlands, if I'm a level 70 character, and this happened to you, this is a true experience for you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're level 60, level 70 characters, and we come to play with you, and you're level 20, and we're doing your story. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to one-shot guys, and they will just disappear off your screen. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Destiny, regardless of my level, our levels compared to anybody else's levels, we can still get our butt handed to us if we're not playing smart. Yep. Do you think it's magical to you because there's your level doesn't so much it still relies on skill to a certain degree? Like,
you can't get to the point where you just stand in the middle and I'm a bullet. I can literally stand here and they can't kill me. If I put my there's parts in Borderlands where I can put my controller down, walk away. I'm going to come back exactly in that part, not dead, because there's nothing.
This guy's bird says hi.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I could literally go AFK.
I'm just curious about if that's. Do you think that might have something to do with it? Because even, you know, we're playing level, you know, we're playing level 60s, and you're playing like a little level 5. We walk over everything. Well, everything's still giving you a challenge. Versus this, it's like if I'm level 20 and you're level 5, I can still get my butt kicked by the guys that you're fighting against.
I think with Destiny, we're going to discover later that the difference between level 1 and level 20 is not as wide as it looks. That we're the enemies are still going to be deadly within that range. Mm-hmm. I think when you're mm-hmm. walking around as level 100, coming back to level 1s, you'll be able to put the controller down and be fine. But what Borderlands felt like with all of the wonderful powers, it often felt unbalanced, and it almost felt like as they're creating these guns and creating the characters, they're throwing whatever numbers they feel like putting in there, so it's fun. But I think the numbers that Bungie has put into how things work, the algorithms, the level, the scaling, all this stuff, it's put in there to create a crafted experience, not just let's give them numbers and loot and all these different guns. Some of them don't do anything. Some of them are wicked. It seems Borderlands seems more willy-nilly to me. It doesn't seem as artistic.
I think I see where you're coming from, but I think it has. I personally just, you know, just having the conversation with you, I think it might mm-hmm. just have more to do with the way they handled enemies. Because one, I like the guns in Borderlands. I feel like there's character to the guns as well mm-hmm. as to the people.
And Destiny needs that.
But the problem is Destiny's guns all look so generic. And you know what? Yeah. That might even be its art style. And Destiny looks great. I'm not complaining about the way that it looks, but I can totally see why Borderlands switched over to the art style that it has. I can actually mm-hmm. show you what, but I have a video bookmarked on YouTube that is the first concept that was shown for Borderlands. It looks like Destiny. And
cell shading wasn't there. It was not as goofy.
Yeah, the problem was they put it out there, that video out there, and it came out about the same time as Rage was hitting.
And those games look the same.
I think one of the Fallout, I don't think it was 3, I think it was New Vegas. It was out there too. And all three of the games looked the same, and Gearbox was like, that's not, we need to stand out. And that's when they went through and redid their art style. There was something comical and fun about Borderlands. You're not wrong about that. But I agree with you now, because I really do enjoy the encounters in Destiny. I like turning the difficulty level up and kind of banging my head against the wall every once in a while. Like, just getting into trouble and be like, okay, I can do this. If I'm smart about this, I can do this. Where Borderlands is kind of like, if I out-level these guys, I'm going to destroy them.
And I will definitely say in Destiny, there is never a circumstance where you cannot be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Even by those creepy little level twos that show up in it.
The silliest thing can kill you. If you lose track of one of those invisible guys with swords and he gets in, his melees hurt. I don't care how much defense you have. And if you, and then you all of a sudden you turn after he's taken out all your health and you focus on him, and that sniper you were going to shoot hits you a couple of times, all of a sudden you're dead. Like, sure, these guys' levels together don't add up to half of what I am. Doesn't matter. You still took the damage.
Like, if there's one thing I think that Borderlands could take from Destiny, it's the combat. Like, it's the way they handled... Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I would call it. Like, the damage that you deal to the enemy? Like, is that... I don't know what mechanic that
your DPS, I guess, if you want to call it anything.
Sure, your damage per second. I think that's one thing that they could take from Destiny, but I think Destiny could probably take just about everything else from Borderlands. Because I feel like if you're not, you never feel overpowered in Destiny, and you feel overpowered in Borderlands. And Joe, you never got to feel that feeling, and I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, it's all right. I think the one thing I don't want Destiny to take from Borderlands is, and I'll imagine this in that explosion guy's voice. I don't want to see loot explosions. I do want to see loot sprinkle out, but I don't. The issue that I had with Borderlands was in all of the majesty of the variety of guns. It took me too long to figure out which ones I should be paying attention to, except for, like, the color. Okay, pick up the purple ones. But that seemed too much. I need a nice, happy medium in there,
But that's what Destiny's devolved into for us. It's like, okay, we're looking for engrams. We're looking only for purple engrams. Like, that's what we're looking for. And the thing that really bums me out is, like, even when you find a purple engram, you're not guaranteed to get, like, a legendary item. So it's kind of like... You can, and I'm using the murder cave here, and it is an exploit, it is a glitch, so I really shouldn't be complaining about it, but I'm just going to point this out there, because I have found maybe 10 legendary engrams the entire time I've been playing the game. None of them have decoded into purple items. Mm-hmm. They've all decoded into blue or lesser items, and that is what the Twitter account is all about. It's a purple engram Twitter account, like, just saying, like, I am the blue shoes you've had since you've been level 5. Because you can't find, you know, the replacement stuff.
But then I will also say is that every legendary that I've ever got out of an engram has been a blue engram. It's like it gives you a range. This could be anything within this range. There you go. Like a purple, obviously a purple has a very poor chance of giving you a green item. So basically it's like you're getting a blue or purple or a piece of material.
Go ahead.
I think the purple engram that I picked up was my purple armor. I'm not exactly sure where I got that anymore, but it was a blue engram that decoded purple armor.
Yeah.
See, you guys have been notoriously lucky with this whole loot thing, and I have not. The legendary armor I've got,
been
I've
lucky-ish, bought yeah. all of it. Well, my chest, actually, to be honest, I don't know, with the exception of when I found the duplicate arms, the only legendary stuff I found is guns. My helmet I bought because I had enough strange coins. My chest, arms, legs were all earned through Vanguard points.
See, that's not fun to me. Like, I would rather find that stuff out in the wild, not buy it from a merchant. Like, and that's the thing. Destiny, one of the things that Bungie said about their loot system, and I really don't want to talk very much longer because I wasn't expecting this to be that long, was that they said that the reason the loot drops the way that it does is because they wanted you to feel like the gun that you got it means something, that you earned it. But the problem is, like I said, when I go through a strike mission, like in, you know, like the higher level strike missions, and I go through those and I slog all the way through it to the end and I defeat that guy and I come out to that reward screen and I get zip.
Mm-hmm. Like, what was that worth? What was that for?
Yeah, it's like, that's when maybe you should be showering us with, not showering us, but maybe like give us our like a reward or something. And I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but that's just how I feel about it. Cause I hit that level and I do. I totally agree with where they came from with their loot system. Cause the scout rifle I use is a level 16 scout rifle. I have not found a level 20 scout rifle in all the loot caving, the murder caving and stuff I've done, I've not found a better scout rifle than the one that I have. And I got that playing in the Crucible. Like, you're rewarded in the Crucible for whatever reason. I still haven't
figured out how you get rewarded.
You can do, it's like if you do really good, you'll get something, and if you do really bad, you'll get something, but if you do okay...
Yeah, all my rewards have been, I've led the team in kills and everything, got nothing. I've done the worst on the losing team and gotten two or three things.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out if it's a crapshoot for everyone or...
But I slogged in there, and guess what? They gave me the carrot on the stick, and it was something great. But I haven't experienced that, like... in the game at all, the game proper, breaking the game and grinding it out. Yeah, I've felt it, but doing like the story stuff, like the heroic weekly stories and the strike mission like that, I don't feel like you're properly rewarded when you finish those.
And also, we're a week and a half into having the game.
No, it's longer than that. I think. What was it? The 9th?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And we're griping that we haven't reached the end and gotten the best equipment yet. Maybe should we be worried about it yet?
It's no, I'm not. It's not really my. It's here's.
I don't care that I haven't gotten the best loot.
That's not what.
Give me purple shit that's like not useful to me. That's I'm totally fine with that. But at least let me feel as if I'm earning stuff. Maybe not the stuff I'm looking for, but I'm making progress at some point.
And I see, and that's the other thing. 2 weeks, and we've finished this game. I don't,
well,
that's a problem. They need more missions.
Well,
to grind. Well,
we finished the story.
Story, but yeah. Like I said, you mean the tutorial for the game?
Yeah, yep. We just paid $60 for a tutorial. Now go play multiplayer because that's what everyone else is playing.
Nah, I mean, it's all about the. Going into this, we were most excited about the raid because we could finally get six people together.
Yeah, to play, and that's what I'm. That's
we
got
to get to that. As soon as we get to that point, I'm like, everyone, get on now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, and that's one of the reasons why I'm still playing is because I want to be high enough level. I want to have, you know, good stuff. I think the other thing that kind of bums me out is that your guns don't level up. Like, your armor gets better, but your guns don't get better. So it's kind of like I've had the same gun since I was 16.
I think the Borderlands and Destiny would be better for having a favored gun. You get a gun because you're a guardian, and this gun is the one that follows you. You have a secondary gun that you find. But this gun, you're going around. You're finding components that maybe fit. That maybe
I'm gonna
don't,
build
maybe
up
you
this
give
gun.
To your friend. This gun is my gun, and I'm gonna make it what I want it to make. And I think that might actually be a good place to include a trading mechanic, because I think Destiny is cutting off trading so that they don't open themselves up to a duplicating exploit. I think that's why. And
that's
so why stealing loot.
That I'm okay with, though.
Yeah, me too. But
there's,
if they had a favored gun where you're finding components everywhere that you can socket, not socket, or sell, I think that would be an interesting mechanic. And then I'd have my gun that would level with me and scale with me all the way through.
So that's the thing. I've said this before. Like, I complained a lot about Borderlands 2 when they started fixing a bunch of the glitches and the exploits in that game, because Borderlands was so broken, and that's what made it fun and charming, that, you know, when they started doing it in Borderlands 2, it's kind of like, no, you're killing the experience. I expect Destiny, I expect Bungie to police Destiny like with a tooth and nail. I actually can't believe that the murder cave is still there.
Me
like,
too.
But then again, that is an exploit in their geometry, in the level design, and like it's a literal spawn closet. Like, how do you fix that without destroying
the spawn closet
or destroying that part of the map? You know, like,
because that's a map that's got a lot of patrols in it. If you get mess with that, well, now there's fallen waiting on the top of the hill for those hive to come up and attack them that are not coming. Or I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's that there's something wrong with that area. What I think is it's just the number of low-level enemies that come out of there. Because there's definitely other places in the game where you can sit and watch guys spawn, and they'll come in and keep spawning, keep spawning, keep spawning.
Yeah.
It's just not that amount. It just happens to be the number of enemies coming out of there because they're all low-level thralls.
But I just don't know how you fix that, because even if you're not on patrol, those guys still spawn from that same cave. Like, you don't...
The only way I can see them doing it is being like, okay, these enemies right here, this tiny little group of enemies, has a very degree's chance of dropping stuff.
They might make it so that they don't drop loot at all. That could
be the only thing that's going to push people away.
I think the other thing they could possibly do is shield them. until they're so far away from the cave, like they do with some of the bosses, make them immune until they're...
Until they get out.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I mean, but I expect them to, you know, fix that. Like, a lot of the glitches in Borderlands, if they ever showed up in Destiny, I expect Bungie to fix that, because that is Bungie's MO. They're trying to do, you know, what Joe said. They're trying to, you know, keep it balanced and make sure there's a checks and balance system for the entire game that Borderlands never had until Borderlands 2, and that killed it for me. But I went into Destiny expecting them to police it, so. All right. I think that's about it.
Enough.
Yeah, I didn't mean to talk that long. I'm sorry, guys. Let me pull up my...
You've only put one of the podcasters to sleep.
Yeah. Let me pull up my my script here for... excuse me, for closing it out. What the heck? Is this it?
You can do it. I believe in you.
Oh my gosh, where is my... There it is. Outro. Got it. Okay, switch this over to moi and my dog. My little doggy.
I can't wait to meet your dog on Friday.
Oh, I just hope he doesn't drive you guys crazy.
Are you dog sitting?
No, I'm bringing him with me out to Grand Rapids. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parents' site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. For anyone watching on YouTube, you can also leave a comment in the YouTube section, and I will try and check those as well. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner is no longer here. He went to bed. Poor him. You can find Danner on Twitter at ArtDanner. You can find him on Xbox Live, WeaponSpace12. You can also find him on the PlayStation Network, X51 The Machine Man. Seanzy?
Yep, I've been Seanzy. You can find me on Xbox at Weapon87. You can find me on PlayStation Network. You really creeped me out, Joe. You find me on PlayStation Network at Weapon01. You can find me on the Cosmodrome, probably shooting at the Murder Cave, just gasping. You can find me on Twitter at Seanzy Brown.
Okay. Joe?
You can find me most easily, probably lately, on PlayStation Network at
Fire
405. You can also find me. Hey, we have a geek sale this Saturday in Grand Rapids, just off 28th Street. You can find me on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/GeekStuffGarageSale, no spaces. If you're local, I hope I see you Saturday and say something like, "Hey, I heard you on that one podcast."
As opposed to the others.
Nobody listens to the others.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We will see you guys next Wednesday at about 8:30, and hopefully it won't go for an hour and a half.
So, and hopefully we'll have done the giant mission of Destiny. Yeah.
Can you say bye? Can you say bye? No? You don't really care about anybody?
Okay. I just like your face.
All right. All right, and we're done. Thanks, guys, for watching.
Bye. We'll be right back.